Good morning. Howdy, y'all. Thank you very, very much for that special music. Appreciate the passion very much. I want to make sure I'm drinking from the right bottle here. If someone comes and drinks after me, they'll start talking funny. So I've used that line before, but I always just want to warn anybody that comes up after me. So hang on a second. So thank you for the beverage. I wish to thank all the men who have come up and served from behind this podium. Song leaders, gentlemen, opening and closing in prayer, sermonettes, split sermons. I have gleaned something from each of you. And so in an interesting way, that makes this opportunity that I have a little bit easier. But at the same time, I want to use what I have received appropriately, hopefully to y'all's benefit. I'd also like to just simply join one of the gentlemen that so appropriately expressed it. I hope you're having a great family reunion. The greatest yet. It's been a wonderful time. My family and I, this is the first time we've been here at Bend, Oregon. And it is a good decision that we made to come here. It's good to see your smiling faces, to meet you, to serve with you, and to learn to love with you. We are a people most blessed, right? Indeed. Throughout the years that I've had the privilege of being in God's church, at different times, at different feasts, someone has gotten up and expressed a question, sometimes very simply, sometimes a little bit more elaborately, more thoughtfully. The question, why are we here? I guess the most important reason that I can say to you as to why are we here is I'd like you to go to Exodus 31, the 31st chapter of Exodus. Because God inspired this to be written in such a way that it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. You've heard it before, and that's okay. I want you to hear it again over and over throughout the remainder of your lives. Exodus 31, verse 13. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths, plural, my Sabbaths, you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know I am the Lord who sanctifies you. We are here to know that. God wants us to know that. In Jesus Christ's most intimate prayer that is recorded by John, in John 17, verse 3, you can just put that in your notes. It has been referenced in previous messages at this feast. Is that to know God the Father and to know His Son Jesus Christ is eternal life. To know them. They desire us to know them. And they desire us to know them perfectly, completely. They want to share everything that they have with us. Brethren, that is just staggeringly incredible. That is just incredible. I so deeply want the young people that are here and are also on the webcast, good morning, and also can hear my voice through phone hookup. I desire so deeply the young people to know what I know about God. I want you to know more than that. I'm still a child and a babe in Christ, still learning about my great God and His beloved Son. But that's why we're here. That's why we're here, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he brings us before his Father, that we too can cry, Abba, Father. We can know our designer, our creator, the sustainer of not only our lives, but the sustainer of the universe. And fill us with a hope that cannot come from the mind or the heart of a carnal human being. This is God's true church. It has not come from the mind of man. It's come from the mind of God. We are not part of the Catholics. We are not part of the Protestants. We are the church of the Almighty God. Don't ever, ever let anyone deter you from that understanding and that belief. Hold fast to it with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Brethren, I'd like you to go to John 3:16. Quite possibly the most well-known verse in the Bible. What I like to do is present this verse to you, and then I take a little bit of license with it, because what it has done for me, and I'm still kind of surprised at this, that I did not do this in my Bible until just a few years ago. I've been in the Church of God a little over 37 years. And, you know, as you grow and hopefully mature, and things just come to your mind to do this, okay? You know John 3:16. I just imagine all of you can recite it without looking at your Bibles. But it says, "For God," and that's God the Father, "so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, brethren, the little bit of license that I have given to myself, in my Bible, I did this. "For God so loved Ralph Redline." Excuse me? "That he gave his only begotten Son, that Ralph Redline would believe in him and should not perish, but have everlasting life." And continuing in verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn Ralph Redline, but so that Ralph might be saved through him." As you can see, I just simply took the world and put my name there. I'd like you to do the same for yourself. To me, and I can only speak for myself, it presents to me an intimacy that God the Father and his beloved Son want to have with us. The title of this message, "Why Are We Here?" To be healed. We're here to be healed. We begin the miraculous life of conversion in the most intimate of fellowship with God the Father and his beloved Son. Precious indeed. Precious indeed. We know that outside of these walls, there is chaos, there is confusion, there is so much catastrophic things going on in society and in culture that are continuing to increase and increase and increase and increase. I'd like you to go to Matthew 13. starting in verse 10 of Matthew 13. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Very deep, serious food for thought. "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.'" Brethren, I don't know all the feast locations about the earth, but one of the things that I desire so, so deeply, and I know you join me in that, that I hope and pray that every one of the feast sites are at peace. I hope they're the most peaceful locations upon the face of the earth, that there's no contentions, that nothing is disrupting these festival locations to be at peace. Something must happen to us before we can truly know this in the depth that God wants us to have, to be at the peace that God speaks about. The incredible miracle that is occurring in your life, if you are a young person who have yet to know baptismal counseling, going to that desire to be baptized and addressed by the ministry, the true ministry of God, and to be guided and directed, the Holy Spirit's guiding you. Be there. Don't take it lightly. Don't put it off. Seek that incredible healing that is the miracle of conversion. The miracle of conversion, of becoming like God, to think like Him, to see like Him, to reason like Him, to discern like Him, to judge righteous judgment, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before Him. Go for it. If you're in counseling now for baptism, wonderful. We don't know your names, or at least I don't, but you're in my prayers. And I know you're in the prayers of the brethren, not only here, but who can see me or can hear my voice. We pray for your protection. Satan wants to derail that. He wants to derail that. He does not want you to succeed. But we have the great God who protects us. We cannot thank God enough for the protection that He gives to us as He heals us. We cannot. I'd like you to go to Jeremiah 33. Just a beautiful millennial statement here. Kind of jumping right into the middle of the thought. We're going to go Jeremiah 33, starting in verse 6. This is speaking about, of course, this is in Judah, the city of Jerusalem. "Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return and will build those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. Health and healing is in the mind and the heart of God. It is one of the most beautiful verses and desires that he has for us. In these verses, I see the word heal and the word peace. Brethren, the purpose of this message today is to address the need of our personal healing to take place as we prepare for the return of our Savior and the establishment of God's kingdom upon this earth, so that we can heal others as well. At the beginning of Christ's ministry, and we can go to Luke 4, starting in verse 16. This is right after he successfully resisted and rebuked Satan. Luke 4:16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." I love this. I just love it. Jesus Christ is still doing this today with you and with me. How many of y'all are brokenhearted? I don't need a show of hands. I know I've been horribly blind in the past, and I probably still have something wrong with my vision, and I speak spiritually, still learning, work in progress. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Any of y'all ever been oppressed? Of course you have. Just got to think about it. One of the great miracles that we of God's family have is the priceless privilege to know and understand God's Sabbaths and his holy days. We've already read one verse in Exodus 31:13 as to why we are here, to know the Lord, our God. It is repeated, and you can put this in your notes, in Ezekiel 20, very elaborately, as well as John 14. I'd like you to go to John 14. And we're going, as you well know, this was occurring during the Passover evening. John 14, starting in verse 19. "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, in you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Brethren, back in verse 21, it says, "We will manifest myself to him, because we keep God's commandments." Which commandment does the world abhor? that we keep consistently. But not only just the fourth commandment, but also the Sabbaths, plural, of God. The holy days of God, the holy plan of God. God says He dwells in those. It is a sign to us. This is how God manifests Himself to us. That's why we must never surrender keeping the Sabbath and the holy days, the festivals of God. Don't let anybody ever beguile you into thinking it's okay to turn your back on these days in this magnificent plan of God. It is heresy. Don't let them do it. Because God says we should do it, we must do it, and that is when we will be receiving the manifestation of God the Father and His beloved Son, so that we can be healed. So that we can be healed. One of the most beautiful names of God is found back in Exodus. I'd like you to go to Exodus 15, starting in verse 24. Tell you what, I apologize. Let's go to verse 22. Sorry I messed up your notes if you're writing in pen. Exodus 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I and the Lord who heals you." Now, indeed, this was a physical situation, right? Excuse me for a moment. This was a physical situation. But as you well know, and once again in your notes, Hebrews 13 and Malachi 4 tell us that God does not change. God does not change. We worship the great God of miracles. As you also know, that when the Israelites were in the wilderness and having to wander for 40 years, nothing grew old and nothing wore out. What a miraculous thing. Jesus Christ also said that He would never leave us, never forsake us. But we want to be healed, right? I want to be healed spiritually without a doubt. But I know there are brethren in this congregation right now that desire so deeply, so deeply, so deeply to be healed physically. I appreciate so deeply the message that was presented to us by Mr. Sexton. I wasn't at services that day. I was suffering a little bit of what I thought was a cold, and so I got to watch it on the webcast, and he did a great job of being an old man. See, I have the most priceless privilege of being a home health care physical therapist. And I work in reality with people that look just like Mr. Sexton. Not now, the way he did then. I mean, come on. So I appreciate what he was doing. Magnificent example. We want to be healed, right? I know a lot of folks in God's church who are suffering. Earlier in the scriptures in Luke 4, when Jesus Christ was saying the things that he was coming to do, a lot of broken hearts in this room. You ever had a broken heart? Of course you have. Sometimes it hurts more than any physical malady. I'm going to go into some elaboration with some of this here in just a moment. But I know you're in good company. You are in very, very good company. 1 Corinthians 12, please. And we're going to go to a region of Scripture that I know you know. It has been spoken of in this feast as well. Forgive me, it should be 2 Corinthians 12. Second Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God knows what he's doing, brethren. He knows what he's doing. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. I know in the 30-plus years that I've been in God's church, I'm aware of immediate healings and miraculous healings of brethren. As time keeps going on and on, I'm sure that they're happening now. But for some of you, the answer to your prayer is no, not yet. But it will happen. The resurrection chapters reveal that. You should endure unto the end. Run your race. Fight your fight. You are going to be healed. You're going to be healed physically. More importantly, you're going to be healed spiritually. You're going to be. I firmly know that. I firmly believe it. It's a hope that we've been given that has, well, you just can't put a value to it. Brethren, over the years that I've been a physical therapist, I've been doing it for about 26 years now, and I know a lot of you know more about this malady than I do, but there is a phenomenon that is occurring primarily in the United States. It might be throughout the Israelitish nations, but I know all I can talk about is what I see in the United States of America. And it's an incredible phenomenon known as autoimmune diseases. It's where the human body is fighting against itself. I know there's people in this congregation right now that are suffering from those. An autoimmune disease. Some of them can be kind of simple. Some of them are horrifying. Not only for the people that are suffering directly from them, but from their families. And I do not ever, ever, ever want to be guilty of taking hope away from anybody. But what I've come to be aware of is that mankind's medicine and mankind's science, it is one of the greatest struggles that we have in trying to help someone who has an autoimmune disease. Because billions and billions and billions of dollars have been presented to it in research, and these precious peoples have very little to put and grasp hope on. But we worship the great God. He knows, he knows, he knows. He knows. I personally know that if a number of people, maybe all of you, if you could, you'd snap your finger and you'd know somebody that would be healed immediately, if you could. Thank you for your desire to be a servant to someone suffering. Brethren, we're in the midst of keeping the festivals of God. We're looking forward to a time of peace and a time of healing upon this earth that humanity has never known. But it's also a time in our own lives that we've never known in the fullness of what God wants it to be. Brethren, before this can happen, we must be spiritually healed. I spoke earlier, just a few moments ago, about the phenomenon of autoimmune diseases. Brethren, I'm sad to say that in the body of Christ, the Church of the Living God, there are spiritual autoimmune diseases. I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11. You see, it's just not new to this day and age. Paul had to address it directly. 1 Corinthians 1:11. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Is Christ divided? I've been a member of a number of congregations throughout my years. My wife has been in the church longer than I have. She was 3 years old when her family was called into the church. I was 31 years old when God called me down in Southeast Texas. And so I've been in congregations in Southeast Texas, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and I visited a whole bunch of other congregations. And brethren, one of the autoimmune diseases that we have witnessed personally is brethren that resist reconciliation with their fellow brethren. This to me is one of the greatest sadnesses my wife and I have ever experienced. 2 years ago, we had 10 people walk out of our congregation in Oklahoma because they refused to reconcile with someone that they felt had offended them. They refused. They were even approached lovingly, and they refused to reconcile. They chose to be divided. And you probably know what's in my mind right now is that the simple fact that in this day and age, someone told me not that long ago how many documented churches of God there are in the United States alone. And so they'll have a name, and then at the end of it, it says, of God. So they've gone off and started their own administration. And it's amazing to me that in these congregations that my wife and I have had the privilege of being in, someone that gets angry, gets their feelings hurt, and leaves, they have a congregation to go hide in. And they refuse to address something that is extremely, extremely, extremely serious. It is very serious. I'd like you to go to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, starting in verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment." But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, "Raca," shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, "You fool," shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. That's pretty clear, brethren, what we're supposed to do when we have a problem with each other in God's church. We keep the Passover every spring. But God doesn't want us to wait till the Passover comes for us to address these things. We have to do it. We have to do it. For those of you who are suffering from an autoimmune disease, I'm speaking of the spirit or the physical sense. My next statement is not meaning to dishearten you in any way, shape, or form. Autoimmune diseases have a tendency to take your life, your physical life. But we have a hope, and the great God is going to resurrect us. You will be healed. You take that into the spiritual analogy of the autoimmune disease. In your refusal to reconcile with a brother or sister in Christ, danger, brethren. Danger. It will take your life if you don't address it. You must be healed. This is a spiritual healing that is of the highest of a necessity. And it begins with the man in the mirror, me. I must go before my God and ask Him to forgive me for offending one of my brothers or my sisters. Even if I don't know why they're angry with me, I need to go before God's throne and ask for help in time of need. Help me to see what I need to see. Help me to hear what I need to hear. Help me to listen to what I need to listen. I want to love my brother or my sister as you love them, and you desire so deeply for them to be one of your children in the kingdom of God. I must want that desire as much as you do. I must go to them. I must apologize and ask them to forgive me. And brethren, they must forgive me. They must forgive me. I must reconcile with my brother or sister. Brethren, then I have to get past the past. I'd like you to go to Psalm 103, verse 7. Psalm. Beginning kind of in the middle of this Psalm of David. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful. You know, that is his first name. That is his first name. Merciful. And gracious, slow in anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Brethren, every feast, my wife and I, we travel quite a bit, and we just look so very, very forward to walking into a feast site and seeing someone that we haven't seen in years. Sometimes we hope to see or get a letter from someone that we haven't heard from in years. We love the priceless opportunity to receive a phone call from somebody that we haven't heard from in years. I'm speaking about people that we have offended. And awkwardly tried to reconcile and maybe handled it a little bit challengingly. And we're still in the process of waiting for that reconciliation to occur. God knows. And I truly believe that someday everything will work out. Maybe some of y'all know how that is. I'd been in the church maybe a little bit less than a year, and I was visiting with somebody in the congregation that I'd been brought into, and somebody in the congregation had offended this person profoundly. And they made a very, very interesting statement. Excuse me. They said, I can forgive them, but I can't forget. And even a babe in Christ, as young as I was, as a Christian, that just kind of went, oh, wow, oh. So the offense must have been pretty bad. But I didn't mean to justify it. You can't forget. Brethren, we have to forget. We have to get past the past. We have to. We just have to. When I was living in North Dakota, I had the privilege of going into an assisted living facility. Some people refer to them as nursing homes, and I guess they are. And I was working with a little old lady, about 94 years old. And it was my job to do some little exercises with her and take her for a nice long walk. She had her walker. And so one day we're just heading down the hallway, great big wide hallway, and there's people here and there's people there. And I had a gait belt on her, and I was kind of holding on to her, had my little hand on her shoulder just to kind of steady her. And so we're heading down the hallway, acting like we know what we're doing. And all of a sudden I see another lady coming towards her. And you just couldn't help but see this. They suddenly saw each other. And this lady, her head just went. And she just kept on walking. In fact, she even sped up a little bit. And the little lady that I was walking, she did the same thing. And they knew, I mean, they wouldn't look at each other. Well, I couldn't let that go. I said, wow. I said, what's going on? Not getting along with her? She goes, no. Nope. No, we're not. I said, do you mind if I just kind of ask what's happening? She says I stole her boyfriend. So I went, oh. I said, well, obviously somebody here in the nursing home, huh? She goes, oh, no, when we were in the fourth grade. And I went, whoa. And so, you know, that's where this statement came from. You got to get past the past. No way. I mean, they were nurturing that. And so I laughed about it, but at the same time, really, really deep, profound sadness there, isn't it? We can't be of that house. We just cannot. But I'll never forget it because it was written on my heart. The fourth grade, I mean, what is that, 10 years old? And here she was 94? And they ended up in the same nursing home? Wow. So anyway, hey, write it on your heart. Get past the past. God desires us to be healed. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. As you well know, in the precious letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, the second chapter, he just reflects so much. Even in the end of the first chapter, he's just talking about having the mind that was in Jesus Christ. Indeed, the mind of God. That's why we're here, right? To have the mind of God. It's also mentioned earlier, we are a Jew inwardly. That word Judah, praise. Praise the circumcised heart of Judah. That's our destiny. That is our destiny. And I appreciate so deeply that it was mentioned also in the marriage that's coming. I'd like you to go to Revelation 19, starting in verse 4. Because as we draw to a close, I've tried to just reflect on the simple fact that this is going to occur. Our healing is going to occur. We have a big part in that. God desires us to be perfect as He is perfect, to be healed, so that we can be His children now, but also for eternity. It's going to happen, brethren, but we have a huge part in it. Revelation 19, verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen of the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. Praise the great and most high Creator God. He desires us so deeply to be healed. He wants us to be healed. And I know each and every one of you want to be healed. And one of the greatest magnificent demonstrations of conversion is that you desire the person sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you, to be healed as well. God wants us to have a peace that we've never known before. You can put this in your notes because it's a great Bible study. At the beginning of the Matthew 5, which is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, there's a number of beatitudes that are listed there. The seven steps to becoming perfectly at peace. I'll leave that in your homework. Brethren, as a physical therapist, I've also seen a phenomenon that I think is just the way it is. It's the way God designed it. None of us heal at the same time. Some of us heal very rapidly. Some of us heal very slowly. But we have to be patient with each other, right? Nobody heals as fast as I do. Nobody heals as slow as I do. But we have to be patient with each other. One of the most precious fruit of the Holy Spirit, long-suffering. Long-suffering with each other. Be long-suffering. So we keep on keeping on. We pray for each other. We seek God's kingdom. We're having a marvelous feast so far, and I think it will continue to be a marvelous and magnificent feast. And so, brethren, please continue to have that. It's a wonderful, wonderful pleasure to meet you, to serve with you, to see with you, to laugh with you, to sing with you, to maybe even cry with you as you're being healed.